gratitude and discontent. One is good and one is bad, right? Today I'm going to argue that perhaps gratitude with a holy discontent is actually the best of them all. Perhaps gratitude and discontent are two sides of the same coin, and we need both in order to have everything that we can have of the kingdom today. Brother Lawrence was a 17th century monk famous for his inspiring and influential lifestyle. He was a monk who wanted to practice the presence of God every minute of every hour of every day. My teenage daughter was reading his work, The Practice of the Presence of God, and she told me that Brother Lawrence, one of his quotes was that there was none that he pitied more than those who were content. So I argued with her, well, what if I'm not content in my circumstances? What if I'm content in God? Surely that's a good thing. And yet that was exactly what Brother Lawrence was talking about. He pitied those who were content in their relationship with God. Because if they were content, then they were not fighting and striving for more of the infinite presence of God. That God is an infinite being. We should always be pushing in to have more and more of him as much as we are able to have today. Gratitude is a journey, it's a battle, and it's important to have gratitude along the way as we are going on a journey. I think of David, the king of Israel, as he was bringing back the mercy seat, the throne, if you like, of God to its correct place in Jerusalem. And for him, every 8 steps he stopped and gave a sacrifice and a thanksgiving and praise. He was grateful along the journey, but that didn't mean that he was finished or that he was satisfied or content with where the journey had landed him yet. And that is what I want to speak about today. So I think back to our time when our daughter was undergoing many surgeries. She had incredible brain trauma in a car accident, and at first, she had no chance of survival, and then she had the highest probability of death, and then it was 80% chance of survival. And then she went into her third surgery, and she had a 1 in 5 chance of dying. So there, she now had a 20% chance of not making it through. And I remember when she came out of the surgery, I wrote this. The surgery was a success, and yet I wrote this. This journey of ours and the journey of life often feels like we are making circles around the same mountain as we pass through moments to surrender, moments to fight, and moments to celebrate. I've used all these words before, but I'm learning to use them all at once. Our circles are getting tighter and tighter as we spiral inward, which leads us upwards until we are able to surrender, to fight, and to celebrate all at the same time. We are learning to live poised on the mountain pinnacle of perfect balance. And the reason for that is she'd come out of surgery and the surgeon said it was a success. She was going to live. It looked like she was going to be able to talk again. There was much that we had to be grateful for. And yet he said to us, there is likely to be a deformity. There's likely to be a cavity in her head that will be visible. And I remember hearing that and just thinking, no, that's not okay. And others gathering around me and saying, you need to just be grateful. You've got so much. And is that true? Do we need to just be grateful? Or is it okay to still fight even though we're grateful? To still have a holy discontent? Can we learn to surrender as well as to fight, as well as to be grateful and to celebrate and to have gratitude? And that is really what I want to be speaking about today. Is it true that we must just be grateful? You get what you get and you don't get upset. Beggars can't be choosers, am I right? But do we come to God as beggars? We know, if you've been around the church for any length of time, we know that we come to him as sons. We come to him as those who are heirs to what he has. But does that mean that we're allowed to ask for more? In this day and age, are we allowed to ask for more when he has already given us so much? What I'm talking about is not an ungrateful discontent, but rather gratitude with a holy discontent. Let's start off with a comparison of gratitude and ingratitude. If we look all the way back at the Garden of Eden, we start with Satan, and ultimately Satan was unhappy with what God had allocated to him. Satan was ungrateful. He was, in the essence of who he was, an ingrate. He wanted more. He wanted more power. He wanted more glory. And Satan sunk his venom into the Garden of Eden, and that was the first sin of mankind. They looked around at everything that God had given them, And they thought that he was holding out on them. They thought that there was more and that his character had caused him to withhold some of his goodness from them. Our fall has always been and always will be that we're not quite sure if God is good. We're not quite sure if we can be satisfied in what he has given us. Ingratitude is a hunger that says God is holding out on us and we doubt his love. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, we read this. We declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Look at that. God destined for our glory. God is interested in our glory. And so if we look at the things that God gives us and the things that he withholds from us, perhaps it's not because he is not loving towards us, that he wants to do badly or is withholding from us. But perhaps he is more interested in our glory. He's actually interested in returning us to our full glory that he intended from the beginning. The scripture says before time began. That was his secret purpose, which has now been revealed, and we understand this. When we say yes to salvation, that's just the start. That's just the beginning. That is not the whole gospel. The good news is that we get to access a relationship with him and be transformed into ever-increasing glory. It starts with salvation. After salvation, we have sanctification, becoming holy in the eyes of God, learning to have things stripped away and things added into our lives. Salvation, sanctification, and then service. We now need to learn how to serve. After that comes sacrifice, when the service costs us. It costs us time and money and preference and our own comforts. And then after that, still another step towards our glory is suffering. As we learn to suffer, as we learn to go through a process, our final destination is glory. Salvation, sanctification, service, sacrifice, suffering, and then glory. These are steps of ever-increasing glory, steps that we need to be constantly taking, constantly growing, not only in our salvation, but in all these other steps as well, in order to reach our purpose. And God, who loves us, wants us to reach our ultimate purpose. You see, the difference between ingratitude and gratitude when we're come up against situations, when we realize things that we're going through and we realize that they come from the hand of God, the difference is whether or not we trust in his character, whether or not we can trust in his goodness, because trials will come and discomfort will come and even suffering. But when we trust in his character, we know that though there are things that we don't understand, we can trust in his goodness. Will we choose to be those who eat the manna of God's provision? You may have heard of the story of God's people going through the desert, and obviously there was hundreds of thousands of them, and God needed to provide food because there was none for them in the desert. And God provided little flakes of wafer that fell from the sky that were on the floor as they woke up in the morning. But the word that manna literally means, what is it? What is this food that God has provided us? What is God's provision? We don't understand. We don't understand the mystery of it. Now, the good thing about the provision is they had food and it was like honey on their tongues. But the bad thing of it is they didn't understand it. And there was many things that manna was not, that they were used to and accustomed to eating. So although the provision had things that they could have been grateful for and things that they could have been ungrateful for, ultimately it came from the hand of God. And would they accept it? With gratitude. This is how Jesus went about accepting his manna, his mysterious provision from God. We read in Luke 22 that just before this was the Last Supper, his Last Supper before going to the cross. And he did this around the table with his disciples in Luke 22, verse 19. He took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them. He took the bread and he gave thanks. We continue to do that, and that word thanks is Eucharisto, it's grace. That the charis, the word that word comes from, is that he took it all as grace. He took everything that God was asking him to do, everything that God was giving to him, which at this point was his death, and his suffering coming up. And he trusted in God. He trusted in the character of God. And he was able to first be grateful, to give thanks for the bread and then break it. But there's more. He calls us to do the same. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, we read this about the same story as they're thinking back to that moment. It says this: "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and gave thanks. In the same way, he took the cup. Do this as often as you drink it." Do this as often as you drink it. What is he saying? He's saying, like me, will you be able to take the manna, the mystery, whatever God provides you with? Will you take your circumstances, will you take your situations and give thanks, just like Jesus did, for the bread, for the cup that represented his body and his blood, just as the manna was the provision of God, and that is our provision? Can we give thanks as we are united with him in suffering as well? Gratitude with a holy discontent is also a hunger, but it's a hunger that says God gives good gifts. It trusts in his character and it wants everything that Christ paid for. It doesn't fall short. There's not just a gratitude, but not a going forward into this holy discontent of wanting more, wanting everything that God has to give. You see, this is the kicker. God never intended the people to be satisfied with the manna. Grateful, yes, but not satisfied. That was not the end of their journey. He had a promised land of milk and honey ahead for them. He didn't want them to stop and be satisfied, but to be grateful. Similarly with the Eucharist, as we take it and we break the bread and give thanks, we are grateful for Christ's suffering, and we can be grateful for whatever we are going through as well. Just today, I said to God, thank you. Thank you for bringing me to my knees again. Thank you for bringing me through some of the trials that I've gone through, that even through suffering. Thank you for bringing me to my knees again, because I know that it is for my ultimate glory. I know that your purposes are only and always around love for me. This is something that I want us to consider, that our habits feed our hungers. I don't just want us to stop with gratitude, but the wonderful thing about gratitude is as we are grateful, as we celebrate, as we remember what there is to celebrate, we are able to develop more hunger for that very thing that we're celebrating. Gratitude puts its attention on what it wants more of while acknowledging it as a gift. Gratitude puts its attention on what it wants more of while acknowledging it as a gift. And so as we are grateful for the things that God gives us, not only the suffering and the trials, but also the good things, those things that have not been brought to completion yet. Like I could be grateful, like as a family, we could celebrate Kiara's survival and her miraculous recovery, but we could say, God, this is beautiful, it's amazing, you are good, you have done all of this, and we want more. We want more the same, and that is my call to you today. Will you remember what God has done? Will you celebrate? Will you surrender to the circumstances that you're in if you need to do that? But don't stop there. Don't be satisfied with that. Will you allow to rise up in you a holy discontent that you would want more, that you would want everything that Christ paid for and everything that he has for you today? I remember just recently there was a couple that is part of Anthem. You may or may not know them. I'm telling their story on their behalf. I haven't even asked them, but they've told it as a testimony, so I'm hoping that's fine. Keith and Chantel, recently this couple had this experience where she suddenly lost feeling in her face and they didn't know if she'd had a stroke, and they rushed her into the hospital under these COVID circumstances. He was not allowed in, and so he sat outside in the parking lot in the car, weeping for his wife, no idea what he would get back, what was happening, if the stroke would continue. And he sat in his car for hours, just crying and praying and crying out to God for his wife. And then he received a phone call that she had been diagnosed and it was not a stroke. It was Bell's palsy, which is a condition that she could recover from, but it has stroke-like symptoms. And he wept again in the car, and thank God, he was so grateful. But when I spoke to them the other day, and she's looking incredible, it's now a number of weeks later, and there is a dramatic recovery, but it's not 100% yet. And Keith said this to me. He said, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to God for what he has done, but I'm not going to rest until it is complete. I'm not going to rest until it's finished. And that is what I am inviting you to as well. Let us be those who don't rest until God is finished doing what he has promised for us. There are a couple of areas that I thought as Anthem we could push into in gratitude and discontent, a couple of areas that I'd love for us to take hold of and say, in this we're going to remember to praise. We're going to remember to be grateful to God for what he has done, and we are going to push for more because we believe that there is more in our future in these areas. And the first one is this, a gratitude and discontent in the presence of God. There's a couple of scriptures that I'm going to be reading. They won't come up on your screen, but I just wanted to back it up with some stories from scripture. So Moses was an incredible giant in the spiritual world, and he was a man who was the first to lead God's people as God called them out of Egypt, out of slavery, and set them up as a nation. And Moses said to God, I am not going to lead these people. You've been telling me lead these people, but you haven't told me whether or not you're going to go with me. I refuse to go, God. I cannot lead your people unless your presence is with us. How will your people be distinguished amongst others in the world if your presence doesn't go with them? And the Lord replied to him and said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. But Moses didn't stop there. Moses said to him again, if your presence does not go with us, don't send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? And again, God said, I will do the very thing that you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. But Moses still didn't stop there. The next line, Moses said, now, show me your glory. Moses went after more. He wasn't done with having God's presence. He wanted more. Show me your glory. And if you know anything about the story and history, you know that Moses ended up seeing so much of God's glory that he had to wear a veil oftentimes after he'd been speaking to God because his face shone with the glory of God. But here's the incredible thing. If you go and read in 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, you will see that our covenant, what God has promised us, what he has joined with us and sworn to us as a covenant, is that we have an even greater covenant and an even greater opportunity to know the glory of God in his presence than Moses did. If the ministry that brought condemnation, if the ministry that was the law that Moses had was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that we have that brings us righteousness and a right standing before God? What was glorious has no glory in comparison today with the surpassing glory. If what was transitory came with such glory, how much greater the glory of what is to come? We have such a hope. The scripture says, therefore we are very bold because our hope is great, because we have been promised that we will have a greater glory, even greater than Moses. Therefore, our hope is great and our boldness should also measure up. We should be bold to push in for more of the presence of God. Will you do that, people of Anthem? Will you, with me, be on our knees for more of the presence of God in our meetings, more of the presence of God in our lives, more of his glory, more of the things that only God can do for the world to see his glory through us. Let us be grateful and praise in that area, but let us also push in for more. The second area that I wanted to call us to is to have gratitude and also a holy discontent in salvations. We have seen salvations here, but Paul, when he saw salvations, Apostle Paul, he said, I'm so grateful. I've heard that you have been sealed with just a seal of the Holy Spirit, which is a sign of things to come. Because of your salvation, I keep praying for more spirit of more wisdom, more revelation, that you would know him better. I will remember you in my prayers. Can we be those who pray for more salvation? We have seen lives redeemed. We have seen situations turned around. But God is calling Anthem to so much more. He is calling us to make a difference in our city and the city that you live in, if it's not Durban. He's calling us as the people of Anthem to more. Will we push into more? Will we push in to more salvations? Will we be on our knees? Will we first stand up and raise our hands in gratitude for what he's done? And will we be on our knees and ask for more of those to join us in the family of God? And then finally, gratitude and discontent in the miraculous. When I was preparing this message, I felt that particularly it was with financial miracles. We have seen so many of those during this time of I don't know if we can call it a depression yet, but during this time of financial difficulty, we have seen many, but not enough. We have seen many financial miracles. We have seen God come through with exact amounts and exact job descriptions and the most incredible things. But we're trusting for more. And you may know of situations where more is needed. We're allowed to ask. That is what this whole message has been about. We can be grateful. We can look to a God who is a good God and has good gifts. We are not those ingrates that say God is holding out on us. God is not holding out on us. God has blessed the people of Anthem, and he has more financial blessing for us, for those that need it, and those who are looking to him for more. But not only that, as I've the message has percolated in me, I felt that it wasn't actually only for financial, but it's also for the miraculous healings that we are asking for, and for relational things, that actually we just need to be trusting God for more in the area of the miraculous. Will you join me with asking for more in these areas after we've praised and been so grateful to God for everything that he has done? Philippians 1 verse 6 says, he who began a good work in you will carry it into completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let us remember to praise him for what he has done, but let our gratitude not be complacent. But rather, let's maintain a holy discontent to experience more of God, to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of Christ, to see more and more people caught up in the train to heaven, and to see more and more of his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. If you've been listening to this message and perhaps you have not yet given your life to Jesus, you've not yet called on his name, and you have not yet realize that he is a good God and that he has good gifts for you. I would love you to take an opportunity now. If you're watching on anthemchurch.tv, there will be a button that comes up that says, I want to give my life to God. Would you click that button? And if you're watching on Facebook or anthemchurch.tv or wherever you're watching, whichever platform, will you email info@anthem.org.za if you have chosen to make this decision? And I'd like to pray for you right now. Jesus, I thank you for those who have chosen now to call on your name and to say, Jesus, I'm ready. I'm ready to accept your gift of salvation, and I'm ready to go on the journey that you take me to be returned to my full glory, God. Would you come into my life, Jesus? Would you seal me with your Holy Spirit, and would you lead me on a journey? Amen. Amen. And for all of us, thank you so much that you have tuned in, that you've joined us. We love you being a part of our Anthem community, and we'd love you to plug in as much as possible. So if you're a part of a life group, that's so great, and I hope that you guys have a wonderful time meeting this week. If you're not yet part of a smaller group or connected into community, why don't you email us again and just let us know so that we can help set you up with a group that can walk with you and walk you into the more that God has for you. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a great week.